But can you imagine what Christmas would be like without songs? From jolly old St. Nicholas to Joy to the World. From Santa Claus is Coming to Town to Silent Night. To Rocking Around the Christmas Tree to Away in a Manger. Can you imagine what Christmas would be like without some of those songs? We would probably venture to say, without music and without songs, well, that wouldn't be Christmas at all. You see, there's something about songs that give us the snippets of the Christmas story. But we have to understand that songs do just that. They give us a small part of the story, but they are not the whole story. So what if all there was to Christmas was a red-nosed reindeer? What good would that do for anybody? What if the only song we played was Rocking Around a Christmas Tree? Sure would be fun while it lasted. But then Christmas is over, and what difference did it really make along the way? See, whether you caught it or not, you did more than hear the Christmas story read. You've heard the Christmas story sung tonight. Did you catch it? The angels are singing in heaven. It's Christmas. And they're singing because Emmanuel, God, in all of His fullness, has taken on flesh and He has stepped down into our world, and God is indeed with us. And so we sing hallelujah. We sing glory in the highest. But because He has come to us, that gives us an invitation where He says, now come to Me. Come into My world as I have stepped into your world. See the invitation? Oh, come, let us adore Him. The good news of Christmas is not that we have to come to God. It's that God first comes to us, right where we're at, and then He invites us to get closer to Himself. And when we come to the manger, there's something glorious about that moment. Is that John says we have seen His glory. Glory in the highest. The glory from the Father who came full of grace and truth. And when we truly experience Him, that's all that we can sing is glory in the highest. There is no one like You, God. There is no one worthy of our praise or admiration like You, God. But you know, if all He did was come to be born in a manger, really, we should have just gone out to eat tonight. Gone home and turned on our favorite Christmas song and watched our favorite Christmas movie and went to bed, because it doesn't make any difference, but that this baby was born that He might die. So that when He died, He would pay for the purifications of my sins and for yours. And then He would sit down at the right hand of the Father, so that when He comes to us, He brings heaven down to us. Our sin is great, but His love is greater. What can separate us now? See, whether you know it or not, we have sung the Christmas story. Maybe it wasn't all that traditional to sing some of the songs we sang, but I wanted us to experience the story, because I don't know how you come to Christmas Eve, but they say as a pastor that sometimes the congregation gets group therapy. You probably get it more than I should share it, but sometimes I come to Christmas Eve a little bit weary. It's just such a busy season, isn't it? That you come into Christmas Eve and you think, I kind of wish I felt a little bit more of that Christmas spirit than what I do. And we try and muster it up ourselves, but the truth is we've been stretched so thin, meeting all the obligations of the season, that we really just don't have that strength to muster up this Christmas cheer. You know, sometimes we come in on Christmas Eve and we feel guilty. Feel like we didn't buy enough presents, or big enough, or expensive enough. Or, the other hand, maybe we went overboard. We just couldn't stop. We said this year we were not going to give in to the consumerism, but we probably did a little bit, because just how can you stop and say no? I'm getting blank faces because some of you have teenagers. And you think, oh, it's easy to stop and say no sometimes. Sometimes we come into Christmas and the truth is all the songs do is that they mask the sorrow of our souls. And it seems like there's no place for that in the Christmas story. I don't know about you, but carrying this burden, my life feeling like it's jam-packed and yet it's absent of joy. And I come in and I think, where does this have to do with the Christmas story? And instead I just feel like I'm on the outside of it and I'm trying to get on the inside of it. I liken it to a Christmas snow globe. One of my favorite Christmas movies. It's a little bit newer. It's not as classic as a lot of them, but I grew up when Tim Allen was popular on Home Improvement. I was a 90s baby. And so when he came out and was starring in the Santa Claus shows and he became Santa Claus and his son is given the snow globe, this fascinated me because all he had to do was shake the globe and he would see Santa, which was now his dad, come across. And you could peer into this snow globe and be reminded of the Christmas, can't you? When you stand there and shake it and the snow begins to shake and you see the scene and you see the lights and you see Santa Claus and all the mystery, but the truth is you're still on the outside of the globe. And that's how I feel sometimes when I come into Christmas Eve service. Going all about the Christmas stuff, but the truth is I shake it, I can see it, it's all around me everywhere, and I'm just trying to get inside of it. Well, if you're like me, there's good news for you, for us outsiders. If you're an outsider, there's good news. Well, there's kind of bad news too. The bad news is you're the main character. The good news is there's a place in the Christmas story for you. You see, the part of the scripture that we didn't read talks about after Jesus was born. It says that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone, catch the word, around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a sign. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The very first people to be told that a Savior had been born were not those who were close to God. They were the ones who were the furthest away. Don't be distracted by the word they were in their fields nearby. There's nothing nearby about rural country, if you know rural country. A block is a whole lot longer than what you think. There were people a whole lot closer to the Messiah than these shepherds. Literally, the angels, if they had gone from the birth site out to the fields, would have passed probably thousands of people just to get to the ones who were the furthest away. I don't find it a coincidence that the angels first appeared to those who felt on the outside of the Christmas story. See, the shepherds were considered the lowest of the low. In fact, if it was a ladder of social class, they would have been the bottom rung. They would have been the last one you would go to for advice. They'd be the last one you would go to tell them news because they're just the last one to find anything out. And yet, the invitation comes and says, "Why don't you just come and see?" See, maybe the job of our Christmas Eve, our task, it isn't for us to try and get into the Christmas story. It's simply to let Christ come and get into us. Is that Christ comes where we're at, no matter how far we feel away from Him, no matter what it is we're dealing with, whether we feel all that Christmas cheer or not, and He says, "A Savior has been born for you and for me." A pastor shared a story not long ago. His name is Tim Keller. Tim was talking about when his boys were younger, his wife went back to work. They're about 2 and 3 years old. And he thought it would be a good idea as a pastor, you know, he could have an office at the house and the boys could stay downstairs and he could work upstairs. And I thought, I have one kid and that wouldn't work. much less two boys a year apart. And so you can imagine, if your parents, how the story unfolded, is that it wasn't long and he's trying to write a sermon or do something, and the boys are fighting downstairs. And so he would go, his office was upstairs, and he would yell, "You two break it up!" And they really wouldn't, but you know, he had things to do, so he'd go back to his office and he would write and study, and it'd get louder, and he'd go down and he'd say what every parent says, "Now don't make me come down there!" Of course, that makes him stop, and he went back and he worked a little bit. And he went down there, went out a third time, and he says, "Now I'm going to count to three. And it better be resolved by three." I don't know where we came up with that parenting tactic, but if counting ever works for you, please let me know. Because it may be lessons, but as soon as you hit three and you stop a little bit and don't go to four and don't do anything, it just starts back. So finally, he got down out of his high place upstairs and he got involved in the conflict of the lives of his two boys, and he helped them resolve it and work it out. And he tells this story at Christmas to remind us this is the story of Christmas. This is God who is high in heaven, and his people are in conflict here on earth. Sometimes we're in conflict with one another. We're fighting with one another. And the God that we see out of the Old Testament is always a God who's very angry. And he seems to say, "Don't make me come down there." And God's people in the Old Testament seem to say, "Go ahead, God, and let all the sinners get your judgment and not us." But Christmas is not about God coming in judgment and wrath. It's about him coming in love and getting involved in the lives of his people. You see, we may feel like we're on the outside of the Christmas story, but I want you to know the story of Christmas is we can never be on the outside of it. The story of Christmas is that Christ has come to get involved in our lives. And the real question is, will we let him? Maybe some for the first time to say, "God, would you really and truly get involved with my life? There's conflict in my heart. I don't have peace. Would you get involved there? I don't have joy. Would you get involved there?" But here's what I'm learning as the years start to get more and more and you walk with the Lord. I have to keep coming back and saying, "Christ, would you get involved? I'm not very joyful of a person to be around right now. I don't have a lot of peace going on in my life right now. Would you get involved in my life?" We've been lighting the Advent candle. It just represents a part of his character, who Christ is, and of course we can't really narrow it all down and figure it all out, but we recognize the first candle, the candle of hope, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, and the candle of love. I said on the first Sunday of Advent that I never caught it until this year, but those are part of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's what Christ wants to bring into our life. And so I wondered even this evening why it is that we don't light the Christ candle first and then light all the other candles. Because it's only out of Christ that hope and peace and joy and love can come in. But I suspect it's just to remind us that we all try and get hope and peace and joy and love without letting him be involved in our life. But the truth is, there's only one way, and that's for him to be at the center. I'm going to give a very simple invitation before we move to a close. Let's not overthink the evening. The shepherds turn to one another and says, "Come, let us see what happened. What do we have to lose? Let's see if what they said is true. Let's see what Christ might do in our midst." Mike, if you'd go ahead and take the lights down. If you'd get your candles ready. I want us just to take a moment and reflect. The darkness, of course, representing our life without Christ, but to be very simply reminded that Christ wants to get involved in our life, and when he does, the light of the world comes to us. Right now, you're on the outside of the Christmas story. But as the candle gets passed to you, you're being invited in. because Christ has come in to the world and come in to our life.